This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
A couple of stories to bring to your attention before we get to the top of the hour news. From CNBC, Southwest Airlines has warned employees that it will have to make difficult decisions to boost profits as the carrier faces pressure from activist Elliott Investment Management, which has sought leadership changes at the company. So you have to lose your middle-class job so that I can keep my super upper-class job. I got it.
Makes sense.
Yeah, sure does.
Totally.
So you have to worry about where the food's coming from next week because I never have. Southwest over the summer announced a host of major changes to its more than 50-year-old business model to drum up revenue. Plans to ditch the open seating for assigned seats, offer seats with more legroom that fetch a higher fare, and start red-eye flights. What?
Read a story today, talking to one of my finance friends, that one possible solution to a problem really with no solution that is Social Security is that for higher wage earners, when it comes our time, whenever that is to retire, they will do some sort of sliding scale where even though, Scott, let's say you make $100,000 every year since you were 30, where even though you paid all of that in, you will not get the same percentage out. Because it is like by what, 2033, it's expected to pay, what, 70 cents on the dollar?
We'll get into that a little bit next hour of the show. But what they really need to do if they want to...
Then stop making me pay it in.
If they want to...
Let me invest it.
If they want to save Social Security, they need to, and I believe they this is still the fact. Sam, would you mind looking this up if you don't mind as I tell this? I'm almost positive this is still in effect. They have a cap of, I think it's $105,000. So you pay Social Security up and until you go over the threshold of $105,000. And then if you make
in August or September or October, there's like some where your paycheck will get a little bit bigger. And that's because they've stopped withdrawing.
I don't know if that's how it works necessarily, but it might be. But after once you hit that threshold of paying taxes on Social Security taxes on $105,000, if you make $200,000, you still pay the same amount of Social Security taxes as somebody who makes $105,000. Does that make sense?
Yep.
And I don't believe they've ever lifted that cap. And they should. They should lift that cap. How come just because you make more money?
Why not let me invest it?
I've argued that from day one. Give me a piece of paper when I was 22 years old, graduating from KU, that said you would never take a dime for Social Security out of my check. But when I turn 65, I'm on my own.
Okay, but...
But the argument then is if people don't invest it, we're going to have a bunch of old people.
The economy would crash, Sam.
That's my problem.
Because people wouldn't do it. I think the Scots of the world would squirrel that away.
Oh, yes.
Like, I would want to see the algorithm, like, or the amortization schedule. You know, what exactly do I have to put back? Mm-hmm. If the government's not going to do it for me, what do I have to put back so I have something else?
You have a nest egg.
That number has been bumped up, Scott, by the way, to $168,000 a year.
Thank you for checking on that.
And a good way to keep money in the Social Security coffers is to quit taking money from it to pay for other things, which they do often.
There needs to be a rule that they cannot do that anymore now that, I mean, the house is on fire, let's be honest.
Oh, they do it all the time.
It is one of the largest expenditures in federal government spending every single year.
And it's only getting more because this is the year that everybody starts turning 65. Mm-hmm. We're screwed. I'm telling you, I sent this story to Scott and Sam today, and I said, we're screwed.
Well, but
Sam is more screwed than we are.
If only that were my least of concern.
Well, and we'll get into that a little bit right after the top of the hour. And then, well, no, we have this Broadgate story coming up in a minute. But we'll get to it before the end of the hour next hour. Because there's new surveys out about who is the most concerned that Social Security's not going to make it. I'm not. And here's why. Dana, you and I have been in this business for 30 years. Okay? Well, you a little bit less, but I've been in this business for 30 years.
Yeah.
When I was working at KOFO in 1994, I was reading stories about Social Security is not going to last. And here we are 30 years later.
Well, the politicians are not going to let it fail. They couldn't. There would be a riot.
Oh, there would be a revolution.
But eventually it just flat out will fail. There's not going to be a won't let it fail.
That's why I said one of the thoughts is we will just, what we'll do is as a safety net for lower income earners, they will get what they paid in. If you are a higher income earner, it will be some sort of sliding scale where you get a percentage of what you paid in, but you're not getting the entire enchilada.
So basically it was a Ponzi scheme like we've always thought.
Correct.
Yeah. Here's something else that you need to take into account. If they want to save it, they have got to get it. I don't mean to sound all Ronald Reagan here for a second. They have got to get their handle on the amount of money that this federal government spends every single year in deficit spending. I just looked it up. We are currently at $36 trillion in debt. 24 years ago, at the turn of the century, in the year 2000, the United States was $5.6 trillion in debt. We have exploded that by $30 trillion in 24 years. $30 trillion.
Where's all the money going?
Well, you tell me. Wars and entitlements.
Yep.
Quick break for the news with Dan Weinbaum. That's coming up in 2 minutes. Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott. Here on KMBZ, we will see you on the other side.